If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
This whole thing again.
How much did your life change going from Tunbridge Wells to Style and Taylor Swift? I mean, that's one heck of a jump, my friend.
It sure was. Yeah, that was funny, actually, because I was living... I just finished a film. I just finished a little film in Wales. And I'd met Taylor a while ago, just sort of hung out a couple of times, but nothing too crazy. And I was living with my friend Daryl at the time, who at the time he was working in a bookies. It was in a William Hill. And I don't know what I was doing in the flat. I was doing something, just a little flat right next to the station. And he goes, "Oi, Dom, you got a text." And I'm like, "Okay." He says, "Why are you telling me about, like, that's a weird thing?" And he goes, "Well, it's from Taylor Swift." And I go, "Okay, I should answer. I should probably answer that one. I'll look into it." It was so lovely. She messaged me and said, "Would you ever consider being in a music video?" And I said, "Well, you know, it depends who it's for. It depends, what the subject matter is and whatever." And she goes, "Well, it's for me." And I had a huge crush on her at the time. And I was like, "I'll do it. It doesn't matter. I'll do it. Get me out there. I'll do it for sure." A lot of the way my career has gone, is thanks to her and thanks to her putting me in it. Because, like you say, there was a wider plethora of people who were sort of aware that, I guess, I existed. And then that moved on to the TV show, which has moved on to the show I'm on now. So, you know, some might say I owe her everything.
Good old Taylor. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been Netflixing it all day with my two daughters. We've been jacing it all morning. How does a series like that, what was it? Was it four series? It must sort of take over your life in some way.
Yeah, I mean, a show like that, especially because it was so martial arts heavy. And from the beginning, you know, I'm not a Tom Cruise by any matter or means, but as much as I can do, I want to be able to at least push myself to prove to myself that it's something that I can do. So, you know, from the beginning, we were filming for 4 years, yeah. And the first season took, I think, 8 months to film. And season two and season three took like 10 months to film with a month of training ahead of time. And then in between that, whilst you're filming, you train in the martial arts that we need to train in. I'd be sort of training 3 or 4 times a week in martial arts. And then whatever stunt training I needed to do, and then the choreography that I needed to do. And then you sort of, you know, very often we'd get to work at like 6 in the morning and train for an hour, then go to hair and makeup and film for the day and then go to the gym afterwards. But, you know, as sort of physically taxing as it was, because I just adore what I do. I think it's so much fun. It never really sort of gets to you in that way. It's just I enjoy it. It's really good fun. So, and I, you know, I'm under no illusions of how lucky I am to be in this situation, because there are so many actors who, you know, let's face it, are better looking and probably more talented, who didn't get those opportunities. And I was lucky enough to get them. So, you know, it just always as appreciative as possible. And I guess the only way I can really respond that is to, one, try and do a good job, and two, work as hard as I can.
How does it work? I mean, I've got an agent and mm-hmm. she rings me and says, "Oh, there's that." I mean, I guess it's key in your business that you have to sort of strike while you're hot, don't you? Where your name's pretty up there, because it is a daunting business. You don't know where your next meal's coming from at times, do you?
Very much so. And I've spent a lot of my career in that situation, if I'm being sort of completely honest. You know, I think the assumption is, you know, you do like a film or whatever, and that's kind of it. You've made it. And I think what people maybe sometimes forget is that, first of all, when you're starting off, financially, they're not necessarily as lucrative as you would think. And also, you know, you really did have to grind to sort of get yourself to a position where you're in like a show like Shadowhunters or a movie like Vampire Academy. I really had to work quite hard to get myself to a place where I was ready to do something like that. It's an interesting concept, because when Shadowhunters finished, it was, you know, a pretty successful show, and we were very happy with it. And, you know, people seem to enjoy it from all over the world, which is really incredible. And like you say, it is important to really jump on something sort of immediately afterwards. The concept that I had, and it was a big conversation, like you say, with my agents and my team, is that I didn't want to do something of the same sort of genre again. Because, you know, a big part of what why I enjoy doing this is because you do get the ability to go and be someone different every day. You get to go and do something a little like strange or wonderful. So the idea was to go and do something very different. You know, nothing necessarily in any genre or whatever, just something, a challenge that I hadn't done before. And, you know, scripts kept coming in. There were a couple, yeah, this would be great, I'd love this one, blah, blah, blah. And then they didn't pan out, or, you know, they hired someone else who was better or more appropriate for the role. And then Penny Dreadful hit my desk. And I knew of Penny Dreadful from the previous series that they did, but the big attracting factor to me was John Logan, who wrote it, who, I mean, you know, I'm a British guy actor. Like, John Logan wrote the last two James Bonds. I want to be James Bond at some point. Like, that's what I want to do at some point in my career. So that was a huge attractive factor in there.
Better here first.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, the more the cast evolved with Nathan Lane and Natalie Dormer, and, you know, the more research I did about John, he wrote Gladiator and he wrote The Aviator and all of these incredible productions that I've admired since, you know, since I started in this business. The key phrase that kept coming up around projects like this is no-brainers. So if there was a project that I was like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, it's vampires again, or, you know, it's a similar character that I've played before or whatever. And Penny Dreadful came in, and all of us, you know, there's a team of nine people. And we all just said, this is a no-brainer. This is a brilliant show for a brilliant network with an amazing cast. It's a character that you've not played before, which is actually not aired, I don't think, in the UK yet. So I don't want to give too much away.
Sure.
But he's a bad guy. He's in his bones, he's a bad guy. And it was, you know, a really interesting thing to, you know, after sort of playing the quote-unquote hero for so long, to play a real villain was interesting, and it's been a real challenge. So that was the key thing with sort of jumping on it, was, yeah, you really do want to make sure you're striking while the iron's hot, as you said, but also at the same time, make sure you make the right choices, not just career-wise, but for me, that would make me happy and keep me sort of fulfilled in what I'm doing.
Is it a two-way street? Are you able to go to approach people to even through your agent say, look, I'd love to be involved in this, or is it very much they come to you?
I think I'm still at the lower level of my career where that's not really something that we would do. I mean, I know that there've been like productions that have surfaced that I'm really interested in. And I've spoken to my agents and said, hey, I really love this one. Is there any way I can get an audition? Can I come in and meet the guys and see, you know, if I'd be appropriate for it? But 9 times out of 10, they're all so good at their jobs, my agents, that if I'm right for it, that I get that audition anyway. Even if it's, you know, if it's in England, the one I have to do today is, well, obviously nobody's having face-to-face auditions at the moment anyway. But what you do is you tape it here. I've got a little sort of studio set up. And you tape it here as if it was an audition. You send it off to the people, and hopefully they like it. That's actually what I did for Penny Dreadful. Is I sent off a tape to them, and they liked it, and then brought me in, and I met them, and, you know, the rest is history. But I know, obviously, you know, when you reach sort of the levels of Robert Downey Jr. or the, you know, the biggest actors in the world, if you want to do something and you call them, then I'm sure they would be elated to have you involved. I'm still very much in a stage of my career where I have to prove myself as appropriate for that role. And there's a part of that I really like. You know, it's a real challenge every time I get an audition, that I have to mold this person and create the idea of this character and do not just a good job, but a better job than the 1,000 other guys who are going for that role. So I like that. It's another part of why I really enjoy what I do. And it was, don't get me wrong, it was hard work at the beginning, you know, getting no's and not really understanding why you got a no. Was I not good enough? Was I too tall? Was I too short? Was I too old? Was I too young? You never really know. And the most frustrating one is where you see it on screen, whatever it is, and you go, I did that. That's exactly what I did. Why didn't I get that one? That doesn't make any sense.
Welcome to my world.
You're right, exactly. Yeah, it's, that's what I did. It's exactly the same. What can you do? And like I say, that it was hard at the beginning, but now I sort of see it as, my little hurdles every day to get over, my little sort of personal challenges, which I really enjoy.
Brilliant. Listen, I won't keep you. Just tell me, if it wasn't a lockdown LA day, mm-hmm. It's bank holiday here, what would you do? Did you get up and go for breakfast? Do you have a lie-in? What would a normal... Do you go out for a night out? Do you have a local? Or do
I have a stomping ground?
I do.
There, what I love here, and I found a couple, and I go to them all the time. There are a couple really good British pubs, British style pubs. A big hurdle that I have here is homesickness. I really struggle with it when I'm here because I'm just so far away from everyone. The lack of ability to just get a hug from my mum when I need it, is tough. So the British pubs really do. They make me feel a little more at home. It's a beautiful day here today, so I don't know, maybe get to the beach, do a little surfing, which is something I had to learn recently. I thought it would be really easy, and it's really not. It's really hard work, surfing. I thought it was going to be, it's just a board on water and that's it, and it's not at all. It's really, really difficult. I love, there's a pub called the Village Idiot here, which is like very British based, with British food and British beer, and you can go get a Guinness or a Boddington's and you're like, ah, it's like home. I love it. That's great. And stuff like that. The other thing is just staying active, and I've tried to do as much of this as possible whilst in the confines of my house, but seeing your buddies and just being as social as possible. I'm very, very social as a person. So, anything I can do with kind of my friends or the people I'm close with is key for me.
Hey, do you know what?
Tell me.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I do just want to take this time briefly to thank all of the men and women of the NHS and the emergency services and the essential workers who've been, really putting themselves at risk for the benefit of the people around you. It's an incredible thing, and you're beyond heroes in my eyes. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And thank you for having me, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
And the great thing I'll always be able to say, do you know what? See that James Bond, that guy there, he told me that first.
That's right,
2020. Hey, Dominic, take care of yourself. Thanks a lot.
You as well, my friend. Stay safe. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.